Well, if you want to open your Bibles to John 15, 1, we're going to start there. A couple weeks ago, we talked about practicing the presence of God, and I'm just going to talk about that some more this morning. So there, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. This is Jesus telling us, you know, we have to experience life the way we should. We need to abide in him. To bear fruit, to grow, we need to abide in God. We were not created apart from him. We're not just like robots that he wound up and let go, and now we go, autonomously just by ourselves. He created us with a need to be reliant on him. And the way we get to where we really want to be in life is when we rely on him, when we abide in him. You know, well, let's just read a couple of the verses we just read, just go over them. He said, I am the true vine. You know, there's people, there's all kinds of fake vines. There's all kinds of man-made religions, and there's all kinds of self-help programs and everything, but those aren't the true vine. God's the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. If we go to something else, even if we come to church, but we go to something else really to draw strength, we're not going to be where we should be. He's the true vine. And he said, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And if you've ever been there, that's not always a pleasant process. You know, as we grow in God, as we get further just in life and in the things of God, he wants us to keep growing up. And just like a plant, he prunes us. And that's not always pleasant, you know, when you're going through it, but it's always pleasant after the fact. I mean, if you've ever been, you know, if you ever had a big job to do, you know, at a home project or whatever, and you look at it and go, man, I don't even want to get started. But you go through the planning, you get started, you go through it. When you're all done, you know, it may have been a pleasant experience, but there's some things that just aren't, that you just don't want to do, but you tackle it, you get through it, and you're glad you got it done, but you wouldn't want to go through it again. And sometimes in life, we're going through, and God knows where we're supposed to be. He knows where we're going to get. Do you realize right now, he knows everything. I know we know this, but just listen to it and wrap your mind around it right now. He knows exactly what your life condition is going to be in 5 years. Everything about your life. He knows what's going to happen. He knows who you're going to be working for. Or if you have your own business, he knows what the conditions are going to be. He knows what the world conditions are going to be. He knows where your children are going to be. He knows where your spouse is going to be. He knows what growth you're going to be at, what stage. He knows it all. He knows where you're going to be in 10 years. So when we feel him prompting us to change something, we ought to listen and take it to heart, because he's not just doing that idly. He knows precisely where we're going to be in 5, 10 years from now, 20, 30, 40. He knows for the rest of our lives where we're going to be. And he has a perfect plan. And then he has all the backup plans. You know, whatever number of backup plan we're on right now. 100,000, million, whatever. You know, every decision, none of us has walked it out perfectly. But he's got a plan. And the thing is about God, he knows us perfectly. So he knows what we're going to do. He doesn't preordain what we're going to do. But he knows the decisions we're going to make. That's amazing. You know, he's predestined people to be in heaven. People get confused. It's not that he's chosen people to be in heaven over other people. He just knows the people that are going to choose. There's a difference. By foreknowledge, he knows what people are going to do. And so he knows the ones that are going to be in heaven, and he knows the ones that are not. But we all have a free will. That's amazing. But we all, you know, people have made it so where God somehow chooses and you don't have any choice. No, but he knows what we're going to choose, yet he gives us a free will to choose. He gives you a free will to choose in your life what path you're going to take, even though he knows what choice you're going to make. And he knows where you're going to end up in 5, 10 years from now, but he's going to be prompting you the best path. He's going to be telling you the best path for your life, the best way to go. He's going to always be just prompting you. And if we'll just heed that, even if it's not pleasant, I really, you know, you feel like God's telling you, I feel like, and it's just a prompting. Just inside, you may think it's just you, but if it doesn't go away and it's godly and it lines up with the Word of God, then it's probably, you know, it bears witness with you. If we feel like we're supposed to change something or do something different, we ought to. Because God knows what's coming, and I don't know how many times, you know, you think, why should I do that? Or, I mean, then there's some obvious things. You know you should do that. You know you should make these changes, and you just maybe don't want to, but then you do it. And then, you know, if it's something you didn't see it coming, you didn't know why, but you felt like you should, and then you realize when everything's said and done, you know, okay, that's what I was supposed to do, but God knew. And God's preparing us, and he's helping us. And if we'll abide in him and just get to know him and be with him, then we'll know those things, and we'll be where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, and we'll walk in the plan that God has for us. He'll grow us up as we go through life. It's not going to be this boot camp that, okay, I'm getting my life straight and all my ducks in a row by next Wednesday. Not going to happen. If we knew all the things God really had planned for us, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, it'd probably blow our minds, the things that he really has for us. But when we just say, well, this is what he's telling me to change today, so I'm going to do that. And then, you know, 3 months from now, this is what he's telling me to change. So you do that little by little, incrementally, pretty soon, 20 years down the road, we're a completely different person. We're where we should be. But if you would have told us, somebody would have told you, this is where you're going to be and this is where you should be 20 years down the road, you say, how? How in the world? That's like a leap. That's like jumping a mile. I can't do it. You can't do that. But you can walk a mile. Step by step, you can get there. Step by step, God prompts you to do this. Then he prompts you to do that. Maybe you do, you know, jump over a couple steps and you just keep going. Pretty soon, you're a mile down the road. And it was just step by step. God will prune us and he'll get us to where we're supposed to be, little by little, step by step. And the secret is just walking with him and abiding with him and looking to him. He wants us to bear fruit. We have a short time here on this earth. It's short. By any measure, it's short. Pretty soon, relatively speaking, all of us are going to step off into eternity one way or another. Jesus is going to come back, or our time is going to be done, and we're going to go. We're going to meet Jesus face to face. Until that day comes, he has something for us to do. And whatever we do is going to affect future generations for however long, you know, the world keeps going the way it is. We don't know. We may think we're at the end. I'm not saying we're not. Could be 200 years, though. We don't know. I mean, we don't know. Things are looking like it's wrapping up. But the fact is, we just live like Jesus isn't coming back. We live, you know, we just keep going and we do what he tells us to do. And we'll get to where we're supposed to be. So he said in verse 2, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And God is not expecting us to do what he's asking us to do in our lives in our own strength. He is not expecting us to get it done. This is not a bunch of, you know, rules and regulations and say, now you go do it. God created us, like we started out with, to rely on him. To be in him and him in us. Like I said a couple weeks ago, it's like air. Right now, you're in the air. But because you're all looking at me, I know the air's in you, else you'd be dead. So right now, you're taking air in. You're breathing air. You're in the air, but the air's in you. It's the same way. We are in Christ, but Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, we can do what he asks us to do. You know, like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't ask us to do it. He didn't say, now, you know what? I've created you, given you a few instructions, now you go do it. Every step of the way, we're supposed to be relying on him, abiding in him. letting Him show us what we should do next, looking to Him, using the Holy Spirit that's inside of us to direct us and guide us and prompt us and help us to be our helper. And then we'll bear the fruit because we're looking to Him, because we're abiding in Him. He's in us. We're looking to Him. And every step of the way, He can help us. And He said then in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. So if I'm the vine, He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, so if you do this, if you abide in me and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So He's saying, so if you do this, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, then you will, He didn't say maybe, He said you will bear much fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. Yeah, you can do some things, but you can't do anything of internal importance. If you do, you know, you go after what God has told you to do. You can't do anything the way it should be done, truly, with peace in your life, completely in God's way, without Him. Yes, you can make money. Yes, you can have a family. Yes, you can do certain things. People do it every day. But God said, or it says in Proverbs, you know, he makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. It's the same thing with everything. He'll promote you in your business and He'll add no sorrow to it. He'll give you a family and He'll add no sorrow to it. You can't do anything the way God wants you to do without Him. And so we want to abide in Him. Now, what is abiding in Him? And, you know, I touched on this a couple weeks ago, but this has, you know, really become real to me. Because we have so many religious ideas about what, if we're even talking about abiding, what does that mean? Go and lock our, you know, ourselves in some closet for 3 or 4 hours a day, have our nose in this Bible, you know, 5 hours a day. Most of us can't do that. You know, we have responsibilities, we have a job, we have to sleep. And we somehow think that, you know, to really abide, it's almost like, you know, this sage, like a Jedi, you know, walking around. You're just, you know, you're the super spiritual person. It's not like that. Abiding is just walking with God. Being conscious of the fact that He is in you all the time. Being conscious of the fact that we're in Him and that He is in you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what part of the day it is. And the more we become conscious, you have to have a realization that God made you righteous apart from you. And that the grace of God is what makes it possible to have a relationship with Him, not how good you are. And when you understand that, and we've talked about that a lot, but see, when that becomes real and you understand that, then wherever you are, you're not always thinking about how well you're doing to relate to Him. It's just that you have this relationship to Him. And when you come to that point, when we come up to where we just realize that everywhere we go, He's with us, He's in us, He's directing us, He's not concerned with all our flaws, He just wants to have a relationship. And then we can walk around and no matter what we do, we can abide. We can abide in Him. We can pray in tongues no matter what we're doing. We can start, there's just practical things that we can do that, you know, you don't have to, when you pray, be in a certain place. We can make it so that when I drive to work, that's the time I pray for my family. When I come home from work, that's the time I pray, you know, for my job or whatever. And then every day, I heard one woman say, or saw one woman say just recently, she said, by the time I pull up to work, I've prayed 45 minutes for people. See, it doesn't have to be some religious thing. That's productivity. That's being, you're really doing something. And it's not, you know, some people say, well, you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend 2 hours with God if your day is going to go right. That's not true. It's just not true. We can be, let me ask you this. Do you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour with your spouse so that that relationship goes well? Most of us don't do that. We may work with our spouse. We may, you know, we live with our, see our spouse, depending on your work set schedules. You know, it's an ebb and flow and it's a relationship. Well, that's the way God is. Wherever we're at, if we bump into Him here, He's with us all the time, but we spend different types of time with Him. You know, I can spend time talking to Shelly just as well. It's different, but if I'm taking a drive, we can be talking about stuff and enjoying our company and getting certain things done. Same thing, when you're driving to work, you can be speaking with God, getting things done, especially if you're speaking in tongues. Because you can be speaking, you just saying, you know what, I'm going to be praying over my family this whole time. You know, you go to the grocery store, you say, when I go to the grocery store, this is what I'm going to be doing. And you just mark out, I'm not saying we do it however makes sense to us, but I'm just saying some practical things we could do is, you know, when we get up, when we're taking a shower every day, you know, probably take a shower every day. If we take a shower, that's when I'm praying for such and such. When I go to the grocery store, that's when I pray for such and such. And man, we start marking those things out pretty soon. We go through the week. We've prayed all this time. We've been praying in tongues. We have wisdom now where we didn't see it before because we're doing things. We're spending, you know, this time I'm just going to worship God a little. This is my time. You know, you can have specific times where we lock ourselves in, you know, absolutely. But we could also have a time, yeah, just when I do this, I'm just going to spend some time worshiping God. I'm in the garden. And at that time, I spend an hour in the garden, you know, every week or whatever. At that time, I'm just going to be praying in tongues in the back room. We start doing that type of stuff practical. It seems really mundane and everything, but I tell you what, then we're practicing the presence of God. We're abiding in Him. There's never a time when we don't have to get holy. We don't have to get into our clothes. We don't have to get music on to be spending time with God. Anytime. We're just, whatever we're doing, we're driving, we're working, we're making dinner, you know, we're exercising. Exercising is a great time. You can listen to worship music, whatever, however it makes sense to each of us, because we all have a relationship with God that's different. But we can practice just this presence of God, abiding in Him, just conscious that we're with Him all the time. And man, then He's like a real person. Then He can help us anytime. Hey, God, you know, I'm just thinking about this. And we don't have to think we have to get, you know, in some other mode other than who we are to really be abiding. It's not a spiritual, you know, this is not a religious thing. That's what religions try to do, is you have to do this and this and this, and then God will meet you. See, that was all taken away. The veil was ripped. There was that. You had to do this and this and this, else you're dead before you could talk to God. But right now, man, we can talk to Him all the time. That's what He wants. That's what He created us for. Man messed that up, but He had a backup plan. So He sent Jesus. And so today we walk in that new covenant. And so we can abide in Him all the time. And Jesus, that's what Jesus came for, and that's what He's talking about here. Let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 16, verse 7. Yeah, I'm just talking about freedom. Just freedom to have your own, not to take what somebody else has told us that we have to do or some method, but we just say, you know what, God's a person. I have a certain schedule in the day. I want to center that around God and Jesus, is, you know, spending time with Him as much as possible. But in any time during that schedule, I can spend time with Him. That's freedom. That's real. That's when it really helps us. Psalm 16, verse 7. Now, this is David. You think about David. David became king eventually, but he spent a whole lot of time where he wasn't king, and he spent a whole lot of time being a shepherd. That's true. I mean, yeah, that might seem real quiet and peaceful, you know, the way we think, but that's work. I mean, he's out just working. And he wrote all these psalms and all, you know, he had a relationship with God. I don't think David was just sitting in some room writing all the time. David was active. He was doing things. Yet he had a relationship, a vital relationship with God all the time, just spending time with Him, just getting to know God. That's the way we can have it. Verse 7, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Like we said a couple weeks ago, even when you're sleeping, God's instructing you. God, you can wake up, you can have a dream, you can just wake up and know what to do. You can wake up in the middle of the night and know what to do in a certain situation. And I've had stuff like that in my job, but it's not super spiritual or anything like that. You just have an idea. Well, we're supposed to rely on God. It's not all you. You can just have an idea about how to handle something. But He's instructing us even the night seasons. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Always. How do you do that? I mean, the way we've been told sometimes, it's like, you know, again, you have to do certain things for God to be before you. But you can't have Him always before you if you have to do certain things, because you're not always doing those certain things. To have Him always before you, You just got to have him in life, just whatever you're doing, like we've been talking about. But that's what David did. He said, I've set him always before me. Always. No matter what we're doing, God's before me. I'm abiding in him. No matter what, I'm conscious that he's with me. You know, I'm working on this project. God, what do I do? How do I do this? What's the best way? What's the most efficient way? You know, I'm organizing my day. I'm going through the day. Just be sensitive. You start thinking, I'm going to go run this here. Nah, I don't really think I should. I think I'm going to do this first and then do that. I'm not talking about flipping out and going hyper-spiritual and trying to, you know, micromanage, but I'm just be sensitive because you know what? You may think, I did that just a couple weeks ago, going to make a purchase. And you know, there's a chain store. And I had looked at this product and I thought, and I had a lot to do that week. And I looked at this product and I thought, there's a store that's a little closer to me. But then there's another store, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to that one. I'm going to go to that one and do it. I just felt, you know, I think I should go to that one. But I, you know, we went to this other one because we were in that area and, you know, looked at some stuff and whatever, but I wasn't ready to buy this item anyway, but I looked. And then a few days later, you know, we were to where I was ready to buy it, and I had thought, man, I should, for some reason, I just think I should go to this other one. I should go to this other, you know, other branch. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I can just run down to this one right now. And I'm like, is this me or is this God? Have you ever been there? I mean, the dividing between your soul and your spirit is a thin line, the word of God. I mean, sometimes it's just practice, knowing what it is. And sometimes even then you're like, you know, I'm making this up. But I didn't, it wasn't going away. And I just thought, I don't know. I mean, I've come to the place, if I'm not completely comfortable with something, and I don't know what it is, I just don't do it. I just, if God tells me, if I feel like I'm not comfortable with doing a certain thing and that it's not completely peaceful, I don't care if it's my mind or it's my spirit. I'm going to wait till I know why it's my mind and that it's really my spirit, because if I do not want to miss it, if it's just my mind and it's just me, it'll go away. Let God show me. But if I'm not going to make a move till he tells me, I mean, till I have peace about it, because I don't want to miss it and be overriding something and dismissing it like it's just me. Because I've done that. And then you look and go, see, you can't see anything. It's like what we talked about. You don't know what's coming down the road. You don't know. And so you can't see any reason why you shouldn't do it this way. But you have something in your heart that's saying, no, go over here. Go over here. And we can talk ourselves out of God telling us what to do in mundane things, running errands, doing certain things, because we don't see it. We can't understand it. But God sees it and he understands it and he's saying, go over here. See, he's got the blimp view and he can see, no, there's this and this. Go over here. And we're looking and we say, why? Why? But he's saying, no, go over here. And so, I've just gotten to the point where, look, I was like, I don't know. And I told Shelley, I said, well, let's just go to this one, the one that's closer, the one I didn't think. I'm just going to go there. But I was like, and then I told her, we were in the car. I said, no, you know what? I don't know why, but we're just going to go to the other one. Worst case is we drive a little further, but I don't know why. I'm just going to go to that one. Well, it turned out I got there, got the thing, and asked the lady something about some related item. And she said, oh, yeah, there's something right over here. There's just a few blocks down the road. There's that. We don't have it, but they do. I'm going to call the person. We send people there all the time. She called, said, yeah, we have it. She gave me directions, MapQuest directions. I got over there, got the thing, exactly what I needed, got some other stuff. Saved me a whole bunch of time because, see, I would have. The other place was shorter. I could have got there, but they didn't have any of this other stuff around. I would have come back. Now I would have had to figure out, where am I going to get this other stuff? Would have wasted a lot of time. But as it was, I went down, got there, went over here, got there, and the whole thing took me hardly any time, and I got everything I needed plus some. Even some other things that I wasn't even considering, all because I just went to the right place. I tell you what, God will save us time in our days. He wants us to be productive. Like I said, we don't have much time on this earth. While we're here, we might as well be productive. So, hey, you think you should go over here. You know, you're just organizing your day and you think you should run an errand. You're like, no, I don't really think I should. Follow that. Like I said, don't wig out, but follow that. You know, at the worst case, you don't know that there's something that way that could danger you. You don't know that there's something going to happen, that there's going to be a wreck that way. Follow it. At the lightest case, it's going to save you a half hour out of your day. Either way. And I'm not saying that to, like I said, we just have to walk out and learn, you know, what's our spirit and whatnot. And it's just a prompting. It's just a follow peace. Bottom line, if you're peaceful about something, that's good. It's like a, just think of a calm pond. No ripples whatsoever, just glass. If it's like that, go, because God will warn you if there's something. If it's like that, it's you know, it's got to be fine. If it's even some ripples and whatever, find out. Wait on God. And if it's, you know, you think of something and it's just kind of like tumultuous, just drop it. I mean, just wait. Don't move until you know, because God can lead us that way. Anyway, God wants to lead us in every part of our day. And like, so we are reading in verse 8, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. He's always before us. He is always just, we can be led by him in every one of our decisions in the day. We don't need to be led necessarily on what tie we put on or whatever, but you know, not everything, but just follow your insights. It says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because if we know that God's at a right hand and we're abiding in him, we're not going to be moved. We're not going to be moved when we see things. If we're following him and we say, see, if we're being led by him and we're abiding in him and we're doing just what we're talking about today, and he says, you know what, you follow peace and you go over here and that's what you feel you should do. If it gets rough, you know God's at your right hand. You say, God, I've followed you. I felt peace here, so guess what? You're not gonna hang me out to dry. I felt peace coming over here. This is exactly what I thought I should do. And guess what? All hell's broken loose. But you're here with me. So it's fine. And it's, then you can be in, you know, you're in faith. And, you know, regardless, we can know that we're going to come out on top because God is always with me. And even if you knew you blew it, God's a merciful God. I'm not saying we have to be perfect. And boy, if we went somewhere and we overrode it when we knew we shouldn't, boy, we're up a creek. And that's not true. That's putting it on us again. See, God's an infinite God. He has a backup plan. Otherwise, the Israelites would have been, you know, up a creek so many times, and they were. But still, God helped them. And they're there for our examples, okay? We are in a better covenant. God is merciful. So if we know, and I've been there, you know you messed up. You know we do this stuff. You know you're supposed to go over here, but you really want this. You really think you want to do this. I mean, you saw the commercial, or you want something, or you think, you know, you want to go someplace, or what? You know, if you got down to it, you know peace is over here, but you're like, I really want this. That's what Israel did with the king. I mean, not in so many, you know, they weren't led by it, but God didn't want them to have a king, but they wanted it. They thought they wanted it. Anyhow, and then they got, you know, Saul and all that stuff. But we know that we're supposed to go over here, and yet we go over here anyway. And then you say, oh, yeah, okay. You think for a while it looks good, but then everything starts coming apart. That's the time you say, God, I missed it. I blew it. But anyhow, you're big enough. Lord, I'll do better next time. What do I do now? See, just tap right back into, okay, you're in the middle of this stuff, but what do I do now? Pick it right back up. Because you probably weren't working. You know, we can beat ourselves over the head and think, oh, my life would be perfect had I made this decision. No, probably not. You probably weren't doing everything perfect before when you made that. It's tempting to focus in on one decision and then think everything would have been great, but it probably wouldn't have. So just pick it up right where you are and say, look, okay, I'm in this circumstance. God, I probably didn't do everything perfect, but what should I do now? You're the infinite one. You are the one that's not limited. What do you want me to do now? Where should I go now? How do I get out of this mess? And he'll show you. Where it looks impossible, God will show you. He's not limited. Man, that's the great thing about God is he's merciful. He's good. We can look to him no matter what kind of mess we get ourselves into. We can look to him. We can look to him and he'll get us out of it. You know, over there in Psalm, wait a minute. Yep, we're just good. Let's go over to Psalm 107. Verse 17. It says, fools. See, when we're not operating the way we should with God, we're a fool. But we're all fools at times. So it says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, because of their mistakes, because they're messed up, because they didn't do it, they're not perfect, they were afflicted. So fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Stuff's not going well, but they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Thank God. Thank God that if you've been a fool in something, that you can cry out to God no matter what, even if we haven't done it perfect. We mess something up, we just say, God, I messed up. Save me. Show me what to do now. And he will. He's faithful. And he's not limited. Doesn't matter how much, you know. It doesn't matter. It looks too far gone. God's not limited. God is unlimited. God can do anything. God can change our circumstances in a day. Less than a day. 24 hours from now, it can be completely different. Thank God. But we can abide in him. We can abide in him. Thank you, Lord. Let's go. Let's end here. Romans 8:30. Romans 8:30. We're just talking about practicing the presence of God, knowing that God is with us all the time, that we can tap into that power that he has and the wisdom that he has, into his counsel, into his healing, into his direction all the time, that we just walk with him all the time. Thank you, Lord God, that he is good. That he is good. So in Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If we know God is for us, if we just get that settled in our hearts that God's for us, that if something tries to tell us that somehow God is not for us, it's a lie. Because God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, he's proven it by sacrificing his son. That's our proof. He sacrificed his son for us because he loved us. Like we started out saying earlier, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's how we know he loves us. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We're God's elect. It is God who justifies. See, who's going to bring a charge against us? No matter where we're at, we know that God is for us. He's with us. He's going with us. And then it doesn't matter where we are. We know that God is for us. Who's going to bring a charge against us? Because it's God who justifies. It's he who condemns. It says verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So at the beginning there it says, who is he who condemns? And that includes yourself. Ask yourself that when you think you messed up or you're not spending enough time with God or something. Where's that voice coming from? Ask yourself, who said that? Who said that? Because God's not telling you that. God's not a nag. You know, if you have a relationship with somebody and they're always like, why don't you spend more time with me? Well, you shouldn't do that. You didn't do that right. Why didn't you do that? You should have done that. You should have gone here. You don't want to be around that person. God's not like that. He's not stupid. That's not God. That's the enemy trying to push us away from God because he knows that nobody wants to be around that. So he'll do it and make you think it's God when it's him to try to put a wedge in between us and God. God is not like that. He wants to abide with us. He wants to hang out with us. He wants to enjoy us. It's not God that's saying those things. It's not God that's condemning. It's not God that's telling us we have to do it something a certain way to get certain results or that we have to have a relationship with him in a certain way. It's men that does that. As long as it lines up with the word of God, we can do the things we're talking about, just going from thing to thing, just enjoying him. Oh, we miss it. Oh, yeah, God, I miss that. sorry, let's go on. Just like you would a best friend, your best, you know, a spouse, whatever. You don't feel guilty when you're not with them. If you really want to be around them, you get hungry for when you're not around them. I mean, think about it. Think of two people that are just dating. They don't feel guilty when they're not together. It's all you can do to keep them apart. I mean, you can't keep them apart. They don't go, oh, I feel so guilty. I haven't called you for an hour. Or I haven't, gone out on a date for 3 days. It's not like that. See, that when we get to like that with God, to where we just want to be with him. And you know what? It doesn't matter how you're with him when you enjoy being with him. When I first started meeting Shelly, dating Shelly, I flew down to Tulsa. We had a long-distance relationship. It was really neat just to go to Walmart and get groceries. It does not matter what we didn't have to go and sit down with candlelight, that's great, and have a good time. Man, it was great to be walking through the mall. Man, it would have been great to be mowing the grass. It didn't matter because I didn't get to see her. So just getting to hang out with her, doing whatever, was really neat. See, we've reversed it to where the only time, with God, we can really have a good time is when we're sitting there in candlelight and everything's, and we don't see anybody else, and it's really private, and the lights are dimmed, and then we can really have a relationship with God. That is a crock, because our closest relationships, man, if we have a good relationship with somebody, we can do anything. And when you really get to know somebody, it doesn't matter what condition you're in. They see you at your worst. They see you at your best. And yet they still love you. God is no different. He loves us no matter what. And when sometimes we're just fake with him, like as if he doesn't already know where we're at, and we're trying to be strong in front of him. I don't want to bring that in front of God. Well, why not? He already knows what we think. He already knows where we're at. So we can just be free. Just wherever we're at, yeah, God, man, what am I? I don't know. I know I'm not believing you the way I should. I know I'm not doing this the way I should. God, help me. What's my problem? Show me. Show me where am I missing it here? I know I'm not doing everything right. Well, I'm not getting this. Yeah, I'm worried about that. Show me. Why am I worried? Why am I worried? Don't try to act in faith. Like, what am I worried? I shouldn't be worried. I know I shouldn't be worried. God knows that. You don't act that way with your spouse. You just tell them, this is bothering me. And you don't expect judgment from them right away. You don't want judgment. You want a listening ear. God listens to us. He knows we're made of dust. He expects us to grow up like you would a child, but he does that patiently. It's not like, well, he expects you to grow up, so get your acting. No, he'll show you how to grow up. If we'll just spend time with him, we'll grow up automatically. He'll show us. Well, he won't tell you. He won't load you down with everything. He'll just say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Pretty soon you look down the road and you're like, man, I used to be like that. But it wasn't hard. You just get to where you're supposed to be. But anyway, God is a good God. We just finish up here. So he's not condemning us. Verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And next time we feel like, I don't know, I don't want to go before God, say, that's not God. I'm going to go and hang out with him. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall? Nobody. Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or because I had a bad day, or because my job's not going right, or because I, yelled at my spouse, or because I didn't handle my kids quite right, shall anything separate us from the love of God? No. He's there in all of it. He's there in all of it. It says, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from him. We can abide in him all the time. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. We can abide in him just because he loves us and he accepts us, and we can grow in him and we can bear fruit in him because we know he's on our side. We know that any trial that comes, that we are more than conquerors through that, because he'll show us the way. Thank God, he'll show us the way.